You are listening to the weekly podcast of Renovate Life Church of God in MacArthur, Ohio. We pray you enjoy today's message.
Sin is sin. There's been a lot of people beat up by sin. They've been deceived by sin. Sin is always the culprit. Sin is vicious. It's something that never is satisfied. Sin is on the trail of who you are. It'll beat you down and beat you down. And when you think that you've got it fixed, it shows up in another outfit, in another dress, in another suit. Amen. That's better than y'all are acting. Now, I know I ain't jumping all over the place because I just don't have the energy for you this morning. But this is good. We got to be on guard. That is the purpose of preaching, to make us aware, to put us on guard. I'm not your enemy because I tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you another thing. It's not easy for me to tell you the truth knowing you're not going to accept it. It's anguish for me. Most days it's anguish for me. I don't want to tell you. I ask God to give me something different. I would love to preach Six Flags over Jesus, but there's two things about me. One, I just ain't that type. And number two, that's not what God called us to do. I fear being lost. I fear preaching to a church for years and them being lost. I really do. I don't live every day shaking and quaking because God is the keeper of my soul, but I do worry about being lost. I worry about the people that I teach and I shepherd being lost. Because I have a responsibility, I have an action, my activity and my attitude. You know, you may smile, but here's the thing. Sometimes I smile and there's really not a smile on my face because you're going through some trouble and you're going through some issues and God has got us up in the middle of the night and we're in prayer, but we still got to walk into the house of God with a smile. Do you know what the smile represents? It represents that He's going to take care of it no matter how I feel or what's going on with my day, because I truly believe that God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He will take care of you and He will guide you even when you don't feel like a smile, when you can't get it on your, when you don't feel like raising your hands and you can't really feel like, God, I want you to touch me today, or you've touched me today. You raise your hands anyway because you will not give the devil any ground. Lord, help me. You know, some of those loonies, and I use my words wisely, loonies. They say that once you're saved, it doesn't matter what you do. Looney tune. I'm going to tell you, that's not hardly how it works. I don't want to lose 20 or 30, 40 years of life, dedication and consecration just to be saved. That's the lowest form of Christian stupidity. Well, I'm just saved. Well, that's okay if you just want to be saved. I don't want to just be saved. Well, why, Pastor? Because saved is my destiny. When I ask God into my heart, that's a promise of God. That's a promise of His Word. The Word gave me a promise, and He said that you might be saved. And then you'll, listen, He will draw all men to Him. Why? Nobody wants to live with a man or woman that doesn't love them. Nobody wants to continue a relationship with somebody that mistreats them and dishonors them. Surely God, who is all wise and all knowing, He's a good God. He doesn't want us to somehow be locked into just being saved. Because there's so much more for you. Well, He saved me 20 years ago, Pastor. But you don't love Him today? We're not interested in the kingdom. We're not interested in the power of God. We're just kind of useless beings that sit on the church pew. That's the ultimate tragedy. To hear people and listen to God, and then these people run up to you, these Looney Tunes. It don't matter how you live. That's what they say. Oh, okay, let's talk about it just for a moment. You can be a whoremonger. You can be an alcoholic. I'm saved. You can be a desecrator of the power of God. You can be vile and wicked and worldly. You can be sensual and shallow and pretentious. But it don't matter because I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. I got news for you. You're not going. Now you can come up with your theology, however you want to. But the Bible says, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. That endureth doesn't just mean get by. I'm going to stick with it. You know, that's what we, when you got kids on a football field and you teach them and teach them and teach them and they run out there and they miss a tackle. They run up to the sidelines. You don't grab them by the helmet and sling them around. You say, you'll get it next time, pal. No, I grab them by the helmet and say, what's wrong with you? I told you all week. Because we want them to conform. Some kids you can jog up to them and say, okay, this is how you're going to do the tackle, and they do it the same way every time. But some kids are a little bit like me. If I add something to it, it's going to be better. And then when I mess it up and I run over to the coach and he's like, but we worked on it all week and you did it right all week. But coach, I thought if I just tweaked it a little. We want to tweak it a little. There's not going to be one day in my life where my flesh is going to love the things of God. The carnal mind is enmity with God. It's the carnal mind is not subject to God. We need revival. We need a visitation of the Holy Ghost far beyond a church service, far beyond clapping our hands, far beyond a little bit of worship. Oh God, somehow can you stir me up? Somehow can you cleanse me and speak to me and direct me? Somehow when I leave this place and I got issues with my family, can you speak the words that'll give them life where there is no... Don't you ever feel that deep in your soul? I don't want to be how I am. I don't want to be stuck in this position. I don't want my family to be stuck there. I want to speak words of life into them. Give me a burden for my family. Give me a burden for the lost souls that are walk around me every day. Let me not sleep the sleep of death just because I'm a Christian or I'm saved. We need to grasp, what does God require from us? We need to grasp, what does God provide for us? Finally, we need to grasp, what is our present condition? What is the condition that I'm in? Am I just wandering through life? Am I numb? Do I got all of these issues and problems that I can't seem to get a grip on? Why am I in this condition? Why has it lasted so long? God, why can't you get me out of it? Sometimes we need to look at ourselves and realize that we're continuing the same old way when God's saying, I already gave you instruction for that. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is tragedy. Rules are not suspended just because of my ignorance. Well, I didn't see the light, Lord. The red light, because it seems like the police officers are our God, because they're giving you a ticket. I wasn't texting this time. I was just driving down the road and the light turned so quick and I couldn't stop. Zoom. Why didn't you stop? That's the law. Oh, I got another one for you. You roll past the stop sign and my wife says, why'd you do that? Honey, in California, they call that a California rolling stop. But that's not the law. Well, it's not my law. I mean, it's got to be a title for some reason. What is wrong with you? You don't tweak it. And then the cop pulls you over. License and registration, sir. And then what is the next thing? Can you tell me why you did that? Am I going to say to the state trooper, well, in California, it's called a California rolling stop. He's going to say, dum-dum, you're in Ohio. Amen?
Amen.
Here's your ticket. I didn't see the blinking light in the school zone that changed us from 55 to 20. Clyde is a school bus driver. She's going. That light has been there for years, sir. But I didn't see it. Ignorance of the law doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want. They used to have this country song, here's your sign. Well, I'm going to tell you today, here's your ticket. I didn't notice that on the highway I was going 70 and it dropped down to 55. And you just happened to be right there, officer. Here's your ticket. I don't want a ticket for not doing. You know, if I wouldn't have been sick, I would have got everybody a ticket and I would have put this scripture on it. Because here's the thing. I want my ticket to say registered in heaven. I want my ticket to say I did it right. I want my ticket to say he fought a good fight. I want my ticket to say he kept the faith. I want my ticket to say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. When I want St. Peter to stand at the door and say, I can't wait for that one to get there. I want my family to be there. I want to be able to wait by the door and say, hey, do you got your golden ticket? Listen, I'm telling you right now, church, there's more for you than be against you. But the rules are not suspended because we don't play by them. You know, there's one place that I don't like to go besides the dentist. Every time I go to the dentist, something happens and I got to go back. Is that any of you? Okay. The place that I loathe is the BMV. No, I woke all of them up at once. If I have to take care of some kind of something, renewal of a tag or some kind of decal, God forbid I have to transfer a tag. Because you'll need to give everything except the exhumed bones of your parents to get what you need. And when you walk up there, if you're missing your insurance card or you're missing this or you're missing that, or God forbid you didn't bring the proper documentation, they don't care who you are. They say, sir, get out of the line. There's the most pleasant people that work at the DMV. I don't know where God found them at. They are so sweet and loving and gracious, and they hate every person that comes in there. Move to the left. Get out of the line. You don't have the proper document. They don't care who you are. But Nancy, I gave you a cake last week. Get out of the line. Move to the right. Go home. Get your proper documentation. Amen?
Amen?
And if you don't have it, you might hate it. You might dread what they're going to take, because does it seem like the rules always change? Trying to go overseas to get my passport. I had to produce my birth certificate. I ain't seen that thing in 30 years. All this stuff. So I just wrote him a letter. I was going to go to Brazil last year. I just wrote him a letter. I said, don't have that. They simply wrote back to me in an email, because you know you don't send a letter like you used to send a letter. They just replied to me in email, you ain't going. Because you got to have everything that you need. They're unimpressed with the fact that you don't have what you need. Do you think that God's going to be okay with the fact that he gave you 66 books of the Bible and all of these words, and you sat in church your whole life and you did all of these things for him, and you get there and you don't have the proper documentation, and you haven't served him and you haven't loved him and you haven't set your life apart and you haven't been holy and you haven't been righteous? And pastor's just being mean today. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm trying to get us to have an understanding of what God expects from us. Well, we need a miracle. Well, then we need to do what we're told to do. We need God to move. Well, we need to do what we're told to do. Oh. You ever been to the doctor? You know, some of you go every 6 months, a year, semi-annually. Some people go every 10 years, whatever it is for you. The purpose of them checking your blood pressure or your sugar or your heart rate is to make sure that you don't have any trouble. Do you agree? I could be dying right now. The heart attack's not going to stop because I didn't have a checkup. It's still coming after me. I just may not know it because I feel good. You ever said that? Got up one morning, whoo, I feel good today. And then something could come and you not know that it's going to come because you feel good. It doesn't suspend the arrival of diabetes because you feel good today. You know, I was on the radio just Monday. I was driving. And this lady come on there and she said, I want to talk to you today about an important event in American society. And I thought, oh, this sounds important. Turned it up. That's what she would do, right? She come on and she said, I'm here to talk to you and about the regards of rosacea disease. I thought, that's just acne. She said, it's called by the physicians of America, the great pretender. It shows up on your face with red patches. It's actually the breaking of blood vessels. And I thought, oh, this is good. She said, the disease is not just on your face. It goes down through your body. You've got issues with your blood vessels. And it could cause a huge problem. And her time was up. Next commercial comes on. I got to tell you something else she said real quick. She said 14 million Americans have it and they don't know that they have it. Coming right behind it, I want to talk to you about the silent killer in America. I must have been listening to Glenn Beck or something. You know, it's always doom and gloom. Said most people don't know because it's unaware. And I thought, oh, I'm a nurse. I thought blood pressure was the silent killer in America. So I Googled silent killer in America, and you know what I found? Just about every disease is a silent killer. Diabetes comes after you, you don't know about it. Blood pressure's after you, you don't know about it. The heart attack's creeping up on you, I don't know about it. The devil's after you, and he's the silent killer, and he's creeping up on you, and you don't know about it. Be ready when it comes. Get your lamps trimmed and burning brightly. Be ready because I promise you, you may have heard it for 20 years or 30 years, but the Lord is soon to return. It's not going to be 10 years or 15 years. I don't even think it's going to be 5 years. You better be ready. You better quit all of this stuff that you're doing. You better get in the Word of God so that you know it. You hide it in your heart so that I might not sin against God. Had a lady that I worked with. She died of breast cancer. And it wasn't because she didn't know the signs. It's that she refused to go to the doctor. You know, the signs are not a bad thing. Well, Pastor, there's all these signs of the times. Well, it's signs of your body messing up is not a bad thing. It's a blessing when something happens and you think, I didn't know there was something wrong with me. And normally you go to the doctor. She refused to go to the doctor. When there's something wrong with me, I want to, what is it? When I don't feel good, what's going on? Is it going to, I'll wait a couple days. But I want to go see what's up. That's the same with us. If there's something wrong in our spirit, we better go and see what's up. We better open the Word of God and find the Word and read it. And Paul said, I found the Word and I did eat it. Amen. It's the purpose of a mirror. If I think there's something on my face, what do? I go look in the mirror. Because I don't want anything on my face. I don't want people making fun of me. I don't want my kids saying, Dad, you got a booger hanging off the end of your nose. Are you too dumb to get it? And they do. And they usually do it when it's in the middle of a restaurant and the waiter's standing there asking me what I want for dinner. You couldn't have told me before. You couldn't have handed me a napkin. Someone comes up to you and they hand you a mint. Don't say, I don't need one. Yes, you do. This is me being nice, bro. Amen? The purpose of taking a test is to find out what you know and what you don't know. Why? So that I can learn about what I don't know. If I get a 70% on a test, there's 30% of the information I don't know. How are we doing with our test with God? Are we passing, Christians? Well, Pastor, we don't take tests. Maybe I should start passing some out. Can I get a witness? Hosea's book is nothing but a prophetic diagnosis of a nation and the condition of the nation. It's the same condition that we're in. The people, Hosea says, was degenerate, vile, and evil. They were polluted. They were having tragedies. They were unaware. What is it saying? It's business as usual. Now, I told the Lord, I don't know how to get people to perk up. I don't know how to get them to understand. I don't know how to shake them and wake them. And you know what the Lord told me after days of praying about this? Lord, give me understanding. What do I do to wake up the people? How do I get them to understand? And the Lord spoke to me and said, you will never get them to wake up. They've got to wake up and understand on their own. All you can do is give them the information. It's up to you to decide what to do with it. They didn't know, listen to me, the children of Israel didn't know that they were standing in the midst of impending destruction. Israel had no idea Syria would be upon them shortly. The Babylonian people came after them. They had no idea that Babylon would take them out. They were unaware. Why? Because they talked to each other. There was a person sitting on the church pew next to them. How do you think I'm doing? Doing good. How you think I'm doing? A-okay. Because you got to get outside of your church pew. You got to get outside of what you do on a daily basis to find the spiritual barometer of God. Am I doing what you've called me to do? Am I reading the word? Am I praying? Am I spending time with you? I'm not just afraid because people are saying you're coming back. Lord, I want to be ready and I want to tell people that you're coming back and this is real and it's the time. They kept ignoring God's reach for them. What do you mean, Pastor? God kept saying the same thing to them over and over and over. Well, what did he say? I want to heal you. And that's not it. I want to restore you. I want to bring, listen to this word. This statement just, I want to bring you back to fullness. And they kept ignoring God. They kept ridiculing his prophets. They kept running them off. The Bible says that they kept running to Assyria and running to Egypt. And the Lord spoke to me. I didn't get this out of them. The Lord spoke to me and he said, that's just like running to the world. You're running to Egypt. You're running to the spirit of the day. You're running to those things, trying to get closer. And you wonder why that you always feel messed up. Because I'm telling you, as God's people, to be ready and be right, and you're running to the world. When the Holy Ghost speaks to you, you don't want to ask anybody else's opinion. Guess what? God's not doing that because he hates you. He's doing that because he loves you. He's doing that because right is right. He's doing that because you could be the key to someone finding salvation. Listen to me again. You could be the key to someone finding salvation. You could be the key to the change in their life. You could be the key to changing everything about their issues and their problems and their addictions and their spiritual ways. Well, I don't know the Lord, or I hate the Lord, or the Lord hasn't done nothing to me. Oh, but if you could see what He's done for me. See, when you're right, that's all you want to do. You just want to say, God, look what God has done. Look how He's changed me. Look how He's changed. You know, when I first got saved, everybody perked up. You know why? Because I was so bad before I got saved, and I was so ornery, and I had so many problems before I got saved, that when I got saved, people were like, hey, what's up with this cat? I'm asking you today, what's up with you? Now, what did the people lose? The tragedy was terrible and horrifying. Because the Bible says that they were deceived and they were ignorant. And they chose to be. The horrible tragedy was that deception had crept in. It was gradual. And because it was gradual, they were business as usual. I'm almost done. Will you listen to me? Deception had crept in. And because it had crept in so slowly, it was gradual and it became business as usual. What have we gradually let go of? What is this? They had lost their intensity. Now, I'm asking the church today. They had lost their intensity for God. Have we? They had lost their hunger for God. Have we? They were just empty, hollow expressions of what they used to be. They lost their passion for holy things. And what they had left, listen, was an empty performance. Let me read to you again as I close. One verse. Strangers have devoured His strength, and He knoweth it not. Beware of the stranger that creeps in. He said Ephraim, or fruitful. He's talking about His people. Fruitful has mixed himself with the heathen. Ephraim has lost his identity. Strangers have stripped him of the power, but he's unaware. It's the same as it's always been. 2,000 years ago, it was the same way as it is today. I pray that God will bring people alive. I told you I was sitting in my office and I was asking God, God, well, how do they recognize? How do I get them to recognize their sleep? Just like Israel, my people have fallen. They've fallen asleep because they have no time for true relationship. That breaks me. Lord, help me. I didn't get this out of a book. I'm going to leave you with this as I close. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Jay, would you come to the piano? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They have rejected my knowledge, and I will also reject thee. Thou shalt be no priest to me. Now catch this, because he calls the man of the house the priest of the home. Thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Now there's a lot that you can unpack from that, but I'm closing. And I want to tell you two things as you stand with me. Two things that you can see that you don't have to dig into. I want to leave you today with this. God will forget your children. There's a lot of people sitting in the place that think, you know what, God? I don't need you to do for me, but your children are a different story. It says God will forget your children. And then it says, as he blessed us, we walked away from him into shame. I've been blessed more than I ever have been. I can tell you, God, I'm the most blessed man in the house. And here's some of you have already picked it up. No, you're not, Pastor. I am. Because that's how good God's been to you. And we can fight over it every day, but when you let the world sneak in, catch it, it said it was going to take your children first. Oh, Lord. Well, this isn't bad and that isn't bad. Let me just set you all off. Disney isn't a problem. I can tell you when Walt Disney was alive, it wasn't a problem. But it's totally different today. Lord, what have we allowed? What have I allowed on my radio? Oh, Pastor, you're being legalistic. Great, for the first time, we're trying to get back to that. But Pastor, all you do is talk about everything sin. No, my job is to tell you what is sin and what isn't. And there's a longer list of what is. But what we're talking about specifically today is being deceived and our children. Now, I'm not worried about you right now. I'm worried about my children being caught up in it. Pastor, why can't I speak to my kids? Because everything that you've opened them to. See, the devil doesn't just sweep in overnight. It's a little change. You ever had a screwdriver in a position where you could barely turn it? Josh Ray, that ever happened to you? It'll make a preacher cuss. Because you've got to be specific. And that screwdriver turns a quarter of a turn, an eighth of a turn. There's 39 teeth on the screw. And they put that screw in a spot where it only turn an eighth of an inch. My wrist ain't supposed to do that 39 times. You ever been there? That's how Satan gets to you and your children. One-eighth of a turn. One-eighth of a turn. You ever used a wrench in a spot? It's worse, you know why? Because you get it turned and then it won't turn anymore. So you got to take it off, flip it over and turn. Takes you 7 minutes to get it off and put it back on to turn it a quarter of an inch. Satan don't need to steal your children like that. He steals them a quarter of an inch at a time. Dear Heavenly Father, God, move right now.
Thank you for joining us. Please like our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. God bless and have an amazing week.